Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
You're listening to Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. We thank you for tuning in and hope you enjoy another exciting episode of our show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. It is September 21st, and before we start anything, I wanted to give a shout-out to my son who turns 24 years old today. Getting older, man. So, you know, with age comes wisdom, and may the Most High order your steps. Happy birthday, son. But I'm here, man. It's a Tuesday night. It's 75 degrees here in New Jersey. And it feels kind of odd because we used to doing this on Monday. But like I said, we're moving to a different platform where, you know, our shows will be uploaded and then actually rebroadcast still through the same platforms and all of that. But we just want to, you know, try something different because start next month, man, we are going into year number 7. So it's been an enjoyable ride, man. I cannot complain about anything. I think our next show after this one will be, oh man, I gotta look at my little calendar and see when it's up there because I know we don't have anything going on next week. But then we come back, so we figure October 6th. So we broadcast in the night, and then October 6th we're gonna try it on a new platform and see how it works out. We're going to still put up the replays here on Blog Talk Radio if they will have us. And we're going to see how it works. And we're going to try to make it do what it do, you know. But in some news, man, I was checking out some news here. I know we have not talked about this dude, but I got to say something about it. It's been going on a long time, and that's the situation with R. Kelly, man. And he's unlikely to take the witness stand as the sex crimes trial nears its end. So testimony in R. Kelly's racketeering and sex crimes trial could wrap up as soon as Wednesday as attorneys for the disgraced superstar wind down their defense of the accused perv. And that's exactly how they wrote it. Brooklyn Federal Court Judge Ann Donnelly said in court Tuesday that she expects defense testimony to end Wednesday morning and closing statements in the trial to begin by the afternoon. It's unlikely Kelly, who is charged with counts of racketeering and violations of the Mann Act, will testify in his own defense. Now, on Tuesday, jurors heard testimony from John Holder, a defense call witness who worked as an accountant for the disgraced superstar in the year prior to his arrest in the case. Now, Holder testified that he never witnessed Kelly abuse women and said the singer's girlfriends were always dressed appropriately when he saw them together. Now, prosecutors have painted a harrowing picture of Kelly, who they alleged sexually assaulted a number of girls while he was the head of an organization that facilitated the abuse for more than 2 decades. One of his victims, prosecutors alleged, was R&B singer Aaliyah, rest in peace, who Kelly illegally wed in the 1990s when she was 15 years old. Now, one of the witnesses for the prosecution, a backup dancer for Kelly referred to as Angela, testified she witnessed Kelly sexually assaulting Aaliyah when she was 13 or 14 in the early 90s. The jury in the case will begin deliberating after prosecutors and Kelly's defense make closing statements and after Donnelly instructs the panel on laws that apply to the case. So we're going to see what actually happens in this, you know. Been watching it from afar, man, and, you know, they had the Surviving R. Kelly parts 1 and 2, and then he had the meltdown with Gayle King. So it's been a little interesting to see what has been happening, you know, with hell of a songmaker, man, hell of an artist. But we're going to see what the world says about this whole trial and and see what comes of it. That'll be that, right? So, anyway, in politics, there's a Del Rio migrant crisis, man, and they're trying to figure out how did so many Haitians end up at the southern U.S. border? And this is down in Del Rio, Texas. Thousands of Haitian immigrants encamped in Del Rio, Texas, after entering the U.S. through the Rio Grande on way to either deportation from U.S. authorities or decide to stay put and seek asylum. But how did these Haitian immigrants make their way to Texas instead of entering from Florida, a state that's actually closer to the Caribbean nation? Now, many of those migrants, experts say, were likely already in Central America as powerful natural disasters and an often dysfunctional government prompted the steady flow of out-migration for more than a decade. But now, with economic opportunities drying up in Latin America as the pandemic continues, Haitian immigrants are now seeking asylum in the U.S. And the end goal is always the United States, said Eduardo Gamarra, professor of political science at the Florida International University. And the pattern is one that wasn't really begun by the Haitians. It's begun by the Cubans. They're the ones who set this trial. The devastating earthquake in 2010 displaced more than 1.5 million people from the island nation. Afterwards, many Haitians left their homeland for South and Central America. Brazil was facing a labor shortage because they were building stadiums for the World Cup and for the Olympics, said Mark Schuler, a professor at Northern Illinois University and president of the Haitian Studies Association. Haitian migration was a solution to the labor problem, he said. Now, in Brazil, Haitian immigrants were granted work visas for the 2014 World Cup and the 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. They were also able to obtain permanent residency for humanitarian reasons. By August 2020, there were about more than 143,000 Haitians in Brazil, according to El Paz, a daily newspaper in Spain. Other South American countries also welcomed Haitian immigrants, including Venezuela and Chile. In Chile, the Haitian population jumped. In 2017, there were 64,567 Haitians in Chile, with an estimated 150,000 there just a year later, according to the Inter-American Dialogue, a Washington-based think tank. But after the Olympics and the need for cheap labor expired, Haitian immigrants were pushed out of Brazil, said Gabriel Apollon, the co-director of the Haiti Mining Justice and International Accountability Project. The exodus of Haitian people fleeing the country can also be attributed to a staggering increase in human rights violations in Haiti within the past 10 years, Apollon said. In August, the Department of State issued a level 4 travel advisory for Haiti, urging Americans not to visit Haiti because of kidnapping, crime, civil unrest, and COVID-19. Haiti's escalating violence and political instability prompted the United Nations Security Council earlier this year to publicly express its deep concern for the protracted political, security, constitutional, and humanitarian crisis tormenting Haiti. The Haitian president was assassinated in July. Jacques Jonas Saint, a former special envoy of President Emile Jonas Saint to the Clinton administration, says in Chile, many Haitians did not get work visas because of the country's process. They did not obtain those visas. The Chilean government refused to give them the visas, said Jonas Saint. And the reason for that is to get a permit to work in Chile, there's a process that is very lengthy and most Haitians don't carry paperwork with them. Haitian nationals were able to obtain tourist visas in Chile. But in 2018, Chilean President Sebastian Pinera canceled temporary visas that allow Haitians to move from tourists to migrants once they found a job. Gamarra says it's probable that many Haitians were undocumented in Latin American countries such as Chile, Brazil, and Ecuador, meaning they aren't able to be deported legally to those countries. They can't even be deported to Mexico because under international law, you have to be deported to the country where you have legal residence, or a country has to agree to accept you, he said. And more than likely, none of these countries is willing to accept Haitian migrants because of their status. And the COVID-19 pandemic hit particularly hard in Latin America. Brazil, the region's largest economy, shrank 4.1% last year, and nearly 600,000 people there have died from COVID-19. So now you're wondering what the border actually looks like now, right? So for 3 weeks, migrants have freely crossed the Rio Grande from Cuidad Acuña, Mexico, into Del Rio, Texas, a city of about 35,000 people. So images of border agents chasing Haitian migrants on horseback prompted outrage Monday, with White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki calling the images horrific, the Democratic lawmakers demanding accountability. The Mexican authorities have also blocked entry to Cuidad Acuña and will start deporting Haitians. Mexico only accepts migrants from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas visited Del Rio on Monday and said an additional 600 Homeland Security personnel have been sent there. Now, Jonah Saint also pointed to the lack of persecution Haitians from the government as a reason why they are being expelled so quickly out of the U.S. If you look at the strict adherence to the law, both U.S. laws and international laws, those people coming in from Chile or through Mexico should not come at all into the United States legitimately asking or requesting for asylum because there's no persecution by the government against them, he said. But Haitians pointed to the assassination of President Jovenel Moise and a recent destructive earthquake both this year and in their homeland as reasons why they are fearful of returning to Haiti. Carl McCanders, an immigration law expert at Vanderbilt University, said Haitian migration through Texas is not a new phenomenon. It's important for people to recognize that Haitian nationals have been using this alternative route to get to the southern border for a few years, maybe even a little bit more than that, McCanders said. Now, more than 320 migrant Haitians were flown back to Port-au-Prince on three flights Sunday, and Haiti says it's expecting six flights Tuesday, according to the Associated Press. Trump enacted Title 42, which allowed for quick expulsion of asylum seekers to prevent the spread of COVID-19 in holding facilities last year. President Joe Biden continued the policy. However, children and some families are exempt. Now, Horace G. Campbell, professor of African American Studies and Political Science at the Maxwell School at Syracuse University, spoke strenuously against the deportations. The United States is succumbing to white supremacist hysteria in this country by deporting these Haitians, Campbell said. I definitely agree. Now, contributing to this article are Sarah Elbasisi and Chelsea Cox from the USA Today. And it's sad that even in 2021, the Haitian people are still being treated in the manner in which they've been treated. Now, granted, back in the 1800s, they chose not to be burdened by the institution of slavery. They fought back and they were successful. However, the French are still trying to punish them to this day for standing up for themselves. So now we have a country that's been hit by earthquake. You know, they assassinated their president. I mean, it's been kind of rough ever since Duvalier. But individuals who lead the country for a better opportunity, I remember they had the little thing going on that said, you know, if they reached an American shore, they were allowed to stay. However, if they were caught in the water, they were forced to make a U-turn and go back. Now, mind you, they're riding inner tubes and all kinds of stuff, man, that can barely float to get away from their country, seeking a better opportunity in this one. It's kind of weird how things go because you want to keep individuals from crossing the border from Mexico and, you know, want to keep them off your shores coming from Haiti or Cuba or what have you. But then for those who are fortunate enough to have money to purchase a airplane ticket, they could walk right in through customs. So it's something weird, man, and we got to figure this thing out. But anyway, it's the six-man Dean Geronimo, and from NJ to NC, I'm here in the studio with my right-hand man, Mark Lee. So, Mark, tell me what's good in your neck of the woods, my brother.
I'm doing good, Dean. You know, these changing schedules, I got a little bit sideswiped and confused about everything. Glad that you sent me SOS people and all of that, because I literally forgot what was going on and all of that. But I am in the house, in the he house, to see how things are going. I was actually in the middle of a clubhouse room where they were having a discussion about Ben Simmons, because, you know, Ben Simmons has said that he is not going to come to training camp and that he is pretty much done with Philadelphia. But, of course, they have not found a suitable suitor for him. So, you know, a lot of folks were in there trying to figure out whether he was even a number three or a number four option if you are in the NBA and if you get him and all of that. So there were some interesting guys in there. One guy was saying that he didn't see him as a number three or number four option on anything. And, of course, he was getting the business for that because folks were like, nah, Ben Simmons is a defensive lockdown specialist, so he can definitely do some stuff in that regard. So there was a heated conversation going on in that room. And like I said, got a little sidetracked by that, but definitely I know we're in the middle of here. And of course, there's all kinds of other things going on in the world. Y'all might be glad to get him over there around New Jersey or one of the New York teams, because, you know, I'm sure y'all would take him and be glad to have him. Might even make him a number two or three option. But, you know, he's actually sounds like he's making a whole lot of money, and he's willing to sacrifice the money that he's going to lose in by not coming to training camp. Because I was reading and was talking about it on the show that I do with Terry Good, and Terry was actually out of pocket himself today, so it was pretty much my show. But in reading about it, they were, like, dropping some figures. I'm sitting there going, like, if I could just get a hundredth of that, I'd be happy, because they were talking about he might be losing, like, $275,000 or some crazy number per day and everything. And I'm like, hey,
wow.
just send me one of them checks. I don't need a full billions or whatever you get. Just send me one of them checks that you might be missing because of your not being in the midst of the news and in the midst of getting your regular paycheck. I'm like, just send me one. I'm not gonna cry about it. Just send me one and I'll be good.
You know what though? He might have none. You know how that goes, man. Them dudes are so, you know what? Nah, I'm not coming back, and I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that. Next thing you know, nobody picks him up. So what right. happens in that situation, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, all right. It's interesting to see, but, you know, we'll wait and find out. You know, well,
those
who... We'll
find out what happens with that. Speaking of waiting and finding out. Speaking of waiting and finding out, I do have to give your team major credit because they kept me up all night. Their defense did not do me any good in fantasy, so I took an L because they were letting a lot of people score. But I was rooting for the team because I know they're your boys and everything, and they squeaked out that one-point victory in an amazing fashion, you know, with that strip fumble and everything. So more big shout-outs to your Baltimore Ravens. They pulled off the win, and hopefully they can get a thing rolling and maybe even pull off two or three wins. But I was definitely impressed. The quarterback was not playing. He kept driving down every time, and every time that Pat Mahomes tried to do something, he would have an answer.
Yeah, we got we had the spirit of Michael K. Williams with us. You know, we open up the game with the farmer and the Dell, and I hope that they keep that as the intro for forever now, you know. You hear that whistle, man. Omar coming. So now when you hear that whistle, the Ravens are coming. And a win is a win. Some people will say, you know what, well, it was only 1 point. But you know what? A win is a win. It doesn't have to be a blowout. This is football. So any given Sunday, anything could happen. So now we get ready for Sunday with the Detroit Lions. We got the 1 o'clock game. So that's next right. up. You know, we took that L in the first week, which that was the overtime game. So, you know, some people say, oh, well, y'all lost in overtime. You know what, though? We played two very strong games. And Lamar Jackson made history on Sunday. I think there was the fourth game where he had 200-plus yards passing and 100-plus yards rushing. Four games with that kind of stat is the most in NFL history. With all these quarterbacks that people argue and, you know, ready to fight over and all of that stuff, hey, man, you know, we're good.
Yeah, it is what it is. I think we're in good shape. I don't think there'll be any problem with that I don't know if you know this, but I heard some really bad news for the entire human population on my show yesterday on the radio show. I had a guy on the show, Guy McPherson, and Guy was on the show, and he is a climate specialist and very much involved in the study of climate and involved in the study of weather and what we're doing to the climate, the ozone, and everything else. And he was hyping up a project called Mirror Reflection and everything. But it seems to me that the way he was saying was that if we don't jump on board of this climate change and this Mirror Reflection project, that, you know, and I know I got young nephews, so I hope that he's definitely wrong, and I hope that it is not a forbearance of something to come, but he is actually saying that if we are not careful, by the year 2030, 2035, or something like that, we could be going the way of the dinosaurs. He's saying that the Arctic cap and a bunch of other things are going cuckoo for cuckoo puffs, as to use that old cereal commercial and everything. And that, you know, 2030, 2035, we're worried about the pandemic. We're worried about some of these other things, including the wars. And we might not be here ourselves if we don't tighten up on Mother Nature and with the climate. So he definitely gave some very sobering statistics and some very sobering facts. So, like I said, I am personally hoping that he is wrong, but, you know, only time will tell. But as he was saying that, I was going like, good grief, the world is, you know, going to all kinds of craziness. And apparently this gentleman is saying that we might need to change some things. Otherwise, we might not be around and the cockroaches might be laughing again.
Hey, man, you know what? I don't know. It remains to be seen. I have a faith that the Most High would not leave us nor forsake us. So, you know.
Exactly. But yeah, you know, a lot of people are paying attention to that Delta variant. I don't know if you've been following that, but I was watching the news and seeing that some folks are, you know, still not wanting to get their masks, still not wanting to do what they got to do to protect themselves. And then, of course, we got society acting crazy because they lifting moratoriums on evictions and lifting things around around finances, including your electric bill and a number of other things. So, you know, the electric company decided to come back after people, just like the housing people are starting to come back after people. I was worried earlier because I got a call that my Spectrum could be in trouble, so I called the Spectrum people, and they were like, the emergency broadband is still in effect. So, you know, we may zap your TV in the next day or two, but we ain't touching your broadband, because we know that you people need to talk to folks and to stay in touch with folks, even try to make sure that you can survive and everything along those lines. So definitely, we're not going to touch that, but we might zap the TV. But I haven't even turned on the TV, because I usually don't have the TV on unless it's on the computer. So if they zap it, I may never know unless I turn on Spectrum TV, and then I'm like, wait a minute, I can't watch my football game because I ain't got the TV. But the regular internet, they apparently are not zapping that and everything. So it'll be interesting to see. And of course, I'm rounding up some cash flow and everything, so hopefully they won't zap that or anything else that they may think about zapping. But, you know, they're coming after folks like they don't care. They're like, pandemic. What's that? We still coming after folks. The government has said it is okay for us to come after y'all, and we could care less. So the gates are open, and I'm sure that some people that may even owe more than what I owe, like maybe in those $1,000 ranges, are probably going like, wait a minute, you mean they're coming after me now? I got $8,000 in debt. How the heck am I going to come up with $8,000?
Wow.
But I had to try to figure it out and things of that nature. But I'm sure there's some people out there that are going like, wait a minute, I ain't paid in like 12, 13, 14 months, and now y'all want me to pay. So, like I said, hopefully they've been working out some strategies so that they can actually deal with it when the hard times come. I know I've got some support crew that helps me out whenever it's needed, but I know some other people ain't got that, and they might be sitting there going like, the pandemic is getting ready to come up on 18, 20 months or something like that, and they're probably going like, whoa, 18 times whatever they owe, that's a whole lot of money. I'd really feel for them if I was in New York, because let's just think if they have not paid in 18 months and they're paying $2,000, that's $36,000 they're going to owe. So that's a whole lot of money. That's almost the paycheck of some people for an entire year. So like I said, I just did that quick math. 18 times, and they might have some serious problems.
Yeah, that's the man. You know what? I don't even know what to say on that one. What do you say for that? You know what I mean? Like, dang.
That's all you
they don't
say.
Care. They don't care though. But then again, I gotta go back to it, man. You got all these refugees coming in here, Jack. What's that about? You know what I mean? Like, man, nobody trying to hear that shit.
Speaking of that, I was gonna get to them refugees because, you know, the people in Haiti are not too happy because apparently the refugees from that were coming here from Haiti got sent back, and they're going back like, we can't feed the folks that we got here. That's part of the reason we sent them to you and everything, and now you're sending them back. What makes you think that we got any food for them now if we didn't have food for them before? So, and sometimes I do worry about the way we treat our immigrants based on where they're coming from. So while I hear what you're saying, we might not need any more immigrants in general, you do have to sometimes wonder, do we treat the darker-complected immigrants maybe a little bit different than we do the lighter or European-based immigrants? I think about historically the way the Haitians were treated versus the Cubans. You know, the Cubans might have been more conservative, and in many cases, even though they can be just as dark as my dark-skinned brothers, they can also be very light as well. So I think that light-skinned variation may be what was getting the benefit of the doubt when they were coming to Miami, whereas the Haitians, not as much. So I was wondering what your thoughts are about that, because I know you've been saying that, hey, look, we got enough issues we need to take care of here in the USA.
You know what? We do. And we don't need, I mean, to be honest, let me say this first. It's amazing how they out there with the horses and you know, looking like an old day of slavery or something out there trying to keep the Haitians from coming into the United States. They've done that for years and years, where I just spoke about it. Like, they say, okay, if you make it onto this land, you know what? You get to stay. If you don't, and we catch you in that water, then you got to go back, right?
Yeah.
But you just basically shipped a whole country over this joint in the airplane. Oh, my God. They're getting bombs dropped on it, man. And? You know what I mean? Like, we also taught them how to fight. We also trained their military, and what happened? They were like, yeah, we appreciate this training, but you got to get up out of here now, Jack. We appreciate you training us, stupid. Now get the hell out. And we decided we're going to take all of the people with us, too. Man, that looked like some preferential treatment right there. We don't need nobody else up in this damn country. We should have learned from September 11th, 2001. We still have not learned yet. We just keep on keeping on. And then some people get to come in. Other people get turned away. Meanwhile, we still got people in this country, man, about to suffer some more. Because guess what? They're going to send those, and they already started sending them, like, student loans are going to be due in February and all of this shit, you know, and it's like, man, I need a forbearance, man. Tell me I can't get it, and it's going to be an issue. You know what I mean? Like, y'all feeding these people, man, that don't even belong here. You're spending millions of dollars to house them and clothe them and all of this stuff. Dollars are numbers on a sheet of paper when it comes to the government. But yet still they use it. You know, oh, this is a humanitarian effort. Man, humanitarian missed me with that, because I'm not trying to hear it. I'm really not. You're wasting my time. You're wasting my energy. And it's sad, man. It's just sad. And I don't care how they try to spin it. It's just sad.
It is very sad.
It's like, what the, man, again, here we go. You're the fools, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't stop. It does not stop. When is it going to stop? Or am I just dumb? Or am I just hoping for something that ain't never coming? You know what I mean?
things just be crazy and we not be expecting things. But, you know, sometimes even common sense things ain't all that common. Because I was also reading a story that was very tragic and everything. But, you know, apparently this couple was going on a trip and everybody was looking at their Instagram, thought that it was a trip of fun, a trip of innocence, you know, kind of one of those nomadic, fun, carefree van lives in the American West. But apparently for the young lady, it ended in murder and mayhem and everything. And now they're trying to find the boyfriend because they think he may be a person of interest. So apparently
he might be, or he
they found some remains in the National Park in Wyoming were confirmed on Tuesday to be those of Gabrielle Petito, according to the FBI, which also said that the manner of death has been determined to be a homicide. In the statement, the FBI said the remains found on Sunday were taken to the coroner's office where forensic examinations confirmed her identity and the manner of death. The specific cause of death was still pending final autopsy reports, according to the agency. And Michael Snyder, a special agent in charge with the FBI in Denver, said in a statement that anyone with information about Brian Laundry, Miss Petito's fiance, who had gone on a cross-country road trip with her this summer and has been named as a person of interest in this case. So he is a person of interest, and they should contact the agency. So the FBI and her partners remain dedicated to ensuring everyone responsible for or complicit in her death is held accountable for their actions. So it sounds like they were doing that whole nomadic lifestyle, and apparently maybe somebody said something wrong. I don't know how the heck you get somebody if you want to do something that harsh.
Well, yeah, you can, because people do that kind of stuff all the time. But at the same time, it's like, you know what, man? How do you get to that point? Yeah, but how do you go a whole week with somebody in the woods and then you go come with that, like, hey, man, I don't know where they went to. Nah, Jack, you don't get a pass for that. You know what I mean? Like, something is really wrong and it's not working out. But, stupid. Stupid and stupid. That's all I'm going to say.
Just crazy as it can be. Folks just be tripping and having crazy moments in the world. And that's just one example of the craziness that is facing our world. Just insanity. That's all I can say. Just pure D insanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Super insanity, right? So,
super insanity.
You know, I don't know. Hey, man, I don't know. Maybe I'm stupid. That's all. That's all I wanted to say.
Hey, that's all you can say?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. I got hit you with this email I just got from Brian down at Skyhawk. So it's an interesting email. I think it'll work out. Like I said, we're gonna start I've been playing around with that other platform, man, and so I know we can still upload our shows and where they're gonna go and whatnot. But we'll talk about that a little more too, and I had a couple of ideas that I wanna fly through. And do it like that. Do we have a guest this week?
This week we don't have a guest, so it might be an abbreviated show. I'm good with that and everything.
Yeah.
But I saw the the bat signal, so I was like, I gotta at least pop on, and I know we'll have a guest next week for sure, but this week I was so busy with
next week we're out.
I mean,
next
not next week.
We come back. It is October. Oh man, I just had it on my daggone let me look this up again. You know, when you're old, man, you got to look things up 3 and 4 times. Wednesday, October 6th is when we're going to be back again. And then, you know, come back. We're going to test out this other thing, man, and we'll be up on it. Just trying to see how we're going to get everything shaking and moving. And we're going to year 7. Next month, man. So it's.
I know we've been rocking and rolling this thing for a while, and definitely
we have a guest
tonight. I remember that guest lined up for October 6th, so that should be a fun discussion. I think it's an author or somebody from the political world, but
Uh-oh. Yo. And the beauty of live radio, my partner has just dropped off the line. Blog Talk, you got to stop giving us the business, man. You're trying to hurt us out here. But you know what? What we're going to do is, and I know, like Mark said, we'll have a guest on Wednesday, October 6th. We'll be headed back into the studio. So it's been fun. It's been real. We go end off this episode, and we're going to go ahead and rock it out. So I'm just going to get this last sign off for year six. We appreciate everybody that's been listening. We appreciate all the, you know, those who have called in, those who have supported over the years. And we hope that you continue to support us as we grow and we move. So we definitely appreciate you. It's Blog Talk Radio, Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. We're here. The dates change, but the game remains the same. So be sure to catch the replays on the Skyhawk Radio Network on tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you know what? If you miss those, we definitely have replays, and they can be found. And I'm going to get a little smoother with this. I'm moving slow right now, but let's go. Radio Public, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, Spotify, Spreaker, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podbean, Apple Podcast, Podchaser, Podcast Addict, CastBox, PodFollow, Deezer, GeoSavin, and BlogTalkRadio.com, where we are a member of the Level Podcast Network, where you can find the Black Girl's Guide to Surviving Menopause, the Chef Gang Radio Show, Funk from the Front Seat, Funk Music with Zach, Learning Unwrap, Let's K-12 Better, Marketing with Russ, a.k.a. hashtag Russ Selfie, Mona Shaker, The Minority Reports, Mullings, Music and Memories with Mark Lee, The Online Dinner Party with Mark Lee, The Plant a Good Seed Podcast, The Reinvention Road Trip, She's on Call, The Just Podcast, The Mark Lee Show, The Spin It Social Hour, Virginia Interfaith Live, and WNC Original Music, and of course, y'all, Straight Talk with Dean and Mark. And like I always say, when you walk outside your front door, showtime in the world is your stage. Just make sure that people are not watching the rehearsal. With that being said, this is Six-Man Dean Geronimo. Have an outstanding rest of your week. We're going to see y'all in October, starting off year seven. Check us out on the Anchor platform. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all. And I'm out. Peace.